Hello, good morning. Good morning. So, I'm recording this on November 5th, and for any of those listening to this now, you'll understand what the context of the time is, but in case this is being listened to in the future, the US election was a day or two ago, and this was the 2020 US election, so Biden Trump. Now, Sam Harris, who is vocally one of the most anti-Trump people I've heard on the internet. He's said some absurd things, which is just a little bit retarded, to be frank. I mean, I'm a massive Sam Harris fan, but he is probably the poster boy for Trump derangement syndrome at this point. He released a podcast just a number of days before the election where he sort of had some epiphany over why people liked Trump. It seems like in America, for some reason, people are so separate from one another that they cannot even understand why someone might like Trump. For me, it's perfectly obvious why people like Trump. And I'm an Australian living in Europe. I'm not sure why, when you live in the country, all of a sudden it makes it so hard. I haven't come across a person who like doesn't understand why people don't like Trump, whether they actually do like him or not. I mean, in Europe, most people loathe him, but they can at least understand why people like him. For me, it's just plainly obvious. However, Sam Harris released this podcast, and in it, he came to this epiphany for why people like Trump. And it is what he said is essentially just in a different language what Nassim Taleb said in The Skin in the Game over why people like Trump. It all comes down to how one signals their virtues and how credible they are as a person and how many risks they've taken in their life. So it's quite vague, obviously, and Trump is a very complicated character, as is the phenomenon of Trump. So it's not as explicable as just Trump has taken risks in public before, therefore he is more credible than other politicians. That's definitely true, but there is more to it. So I'll just say what Sam Harris basically said was that Trump, he doesn't pretend to be morally superior to you. And that is because all of his flaws are just so out there and well known. He is grab him in the pussy. You know, he is, I can shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue. He is, they're sending rapists. He's build that wall. He's lock her up. He signals all of these messages which a Democrat might feel is below them. Or not even a Democrat, which a regular politician would feel is below them. I'm not going to stoop to that level. I'm not going to stoop to the baseline. And so because Trump says all these things, he signals to the rest of the world that he's not trying to be morally superior to anyone. And even better, something that even makes people love him as much as they do, is he's not signaling that he's even trying to be better than you. So it's not even about moral superiority, it's simply better than. And that's such a rare trait that you can find in public figures. Because even if they might say they're never trying to be better, you can sort of tell through their how they act, that might at least be their ambition. You know, you can't look at Hillary Clinton and feel the same way. You can't look at her and feel like she doesn't feel like she's morally superior to me. She doesn't feel like she's better than me. Something that Joe Biden sort of has going for him is that he doesn't have these vices either. He's the loving grandpa image. So he's signaling that he's morally superior to you, but he's not signaling that he's better than you or trying to be better than you. One of the criticisms of Barack Obama was that he was signaling that he was morally superior than you and better than you. But it all comes down, this is central to Skin in the Game. It's how you signal. It's what you signal. It's the authenticity of your signaling. The person with skin in the game signals authenticity through taking risks in public. Okay, and who does that remind you of? It doesn't remind you of politicians. It certainly doesn't remind me of politicians. You know, I've spoken about this before in the Skin in the Game video, but politics are the poster boys for bureaucracy. Bureaucracy and politics are the two professions most absent of skin in the game. And so when someone comes in, like this man Donald Trump, who is, you know, and so cliche to say, an outsider. He's an outsider. He's a public figure. He's someone who's made massive losses in public before, taken big risks in public before. All of a sudden, he's so much more credible and relatable to the people. So this is what Nassim said in as many words in his book Skin in the Game. And then somehow this light bulb went off in Sam Harris's head along similar lines. Sam Harris actually has sat in a debate across from Nassim Taleb once before. It was at a conference in Madrid. Well, a debate, I should say, in Madrid. It was Harris, someone, I think Dennett. Harris, Dennett, and Hitchens against Nassim, D'Souza, and some other guy. And I'm a massive Nassim boy, but fuck me. He was woeful in this debate. You got the impression that they sort of just picked him off the street and said, hey, can you argue these points for us? And he was opposite Hitchens as well, so it's just a game over at that stage. But Nassim actually calls out Sam Harris in one of his books as well. And rightly so. Sam Harris, unfortunately, like I said, I'm a massive Sam Harris fan, but Sam Harris signals that he's morally superior to you. He signals that he's so much better than you. And if you take Sam Harris seriously, which I do, you do also understand that this isn't what Harris actually thinks. You get the impression that he's like an incredibly conscientious, kind man. I mean, the fucking guy spent years in his 20s on silent retreats. You know, I'm in my 20s right now, and the prospect of going away for a month or two and just like leaving life, I can see the benefits of it, but I don't have that sort of discipline. And to have that sort of discipline, you know, Sam Harris is a different kind of being. He really is on another intellectual plane from a lot of people. But now I'm just rambling about Harris and Nassim. We're here to talk about Donald Trump and skin in the game. So Harris makes the point a few days before the election, oh, now I understand why people like Trump so much. It's because he doesn't pretend to be morally superior or better than you. And therefore, if you're sensitive to always being told by your politicians that you're racist or that you're too stupid to vote for this type of party or to understand these policies, then once this guy comes around who sort of says, no, all these guys are fuckwits and I understand you, then it does explain why Trump has such devoted fans. Fan is an understatement. This is also part of the incredibly interesting Trump phenomena. I mean, I'm so lucky to be the age I am living through the Trump phenomena, because I'm going to see throughout my life some fascinating explanations of this time. Because Trump doesn't have fans. Now, Trump is obviously a celebrity, but he doesn't have fans like celebrities do. He has devoted followers. He can easily go and open up a cult. I mean, I think it was 65 million votes he had in 2016. 65 million votes. Now, let's assume that, I don't know, less than 1%, 0.1% of those are devoted enough to follow Trump no matter what he says, and these are the types where he's like, take up arms and get rid of all the Democrats, like they would follow. That's a lot of people. That would make him one of the largest cult leaders of all time. And he is just, there's an inexplicable charisma to him, because he doesn't have the obvious traits of a charismatic person. I mean, Trump is ugly to look at, fat. He fails to cover up his aesthetic inequities, like the fucking orange skin and the comb over hair. He speaks in the most dodging manner. He's this amazing dichotomy where at the same time he's one of the worst speakers and one of the best speakers you've ever heard. I can't help but listen to the man when he speaks, but I say to myself, what the fuck is he saying? And why does he keep saying tremendous? And why does he keep saying the best numbers and the best people? when it's just totally out of context. And also, frankly, just a lie. Like, what's he talking about, the best numbers in economic history? What does that even mean? Zero context. But at the same time, you're listening to him. And you're kind of, like, getting behind his narrative. You're like, oh, yeah, right, I guess so. Now, maybe I'm just a sucker and sympathetic to that sort of shit. Don't even know what that means. But nonetheless, he's a fascinating character. And ultimately, a lot of his support, a lot of the love for him, it all teeters back to skin in the game. Nassim talks about ancient ideas, okay? So skin in the game has been around since the classics, as has signaling virtue and signaling risk. And so when I saw that Harris released that podcast, I was like, oh, that's skin of the game. Nassim Taleb said this in Skin of the Game. Arguments that Trump was a failed entrepreneur, even if true, actually prop up this argument. You'd even rather have a failed real person than a successful one, because blemishes, scars, and character flaws increase the distance between a human and a ghost. Okay? So this was written after the 2016 election, so put that into context. It's the best explanation I've seen for why people love Trump so much, because when people just look at him without any sort of serious consideration, yeah, you do see this big fat orange man who's saying a bunch of shit that rubs you the wrong way, and you're like, how the fuck do people support that? But then you look into it a bit deeper, and it's like, you'd even rather have a failed real person than a successful fake one. Okay? And Trump is a failed real person. You know, like, there's so much conjecture over whether he's actually a billionaire. I mean, not like that's a failure. To be a millionaire is a massive success. But he's gone bankrupt in public before. People spoke about all of his business dealings and failings. People spoke about the fact that he was a celebrity TV star. People spoke about the fact that he's got, you know, fucked up sexual fetishes, failed marriages. Like, he has scars and blemishes and certainly character flaws, which he signals openly to the public. Whether he tries to hide them or not, they're not hidden. The public knows about them. He's one of the most impenetrable suits of armor ever worn in public life. At this stage, it's almost impossible for him to ruin his reputation. It's fascinating. And as Nassim argues, and as I would agree, it's just because of copious layers of having skin in the game. Trump went into politics and then lost money. Okay, every other politician before him went into politics and then made money. And Joe Biden has this massive house out in the country. You know, I mean, the guy's meant to be a public servant, but he's got millions and millions of dollars. I mean, Barack Obama's made loads of money. And this isn't confined to the US either. Politicians the world over, they make money when they go into office, because then they can start swinging their power for financial gain. Whereas Trump went into office and supposedly lost a bunch of money. Now, whether that's true or not, the message is still the same. He went into office and lost money. Now, that signals a real person. Okay? That signals someone who cares. So, skin in the game, a lot of it comes down to how much you signal your risk and signal credibility. And you can certainly make the argument that all of Trump's signaled credibility is fake and based on lies, and you would have a very strong case to be made against that. But that's not how everyone feels about it. And there is enough people out there who feel like Trump is them. You know, because I'm just some guy who's made a lot of mistakes and never really made much of myself. Or maybe I did make much of myself and I made mistakes along the way doing that as well. There is a relatability to Trump there. Whereas how the fuck can you relate to Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden? They're anomaly people. You can't really relate to them. They're lifelong politicians who flip on issues all the time. Do you, as a person living your life, flip on issues that matter to you? No, because you're credible. Politicians who flip on issues, they lose their credibility straight away. So this is becoming just a bit of a, you know, bit of a long tirade on credibility and how you signal virtue and signaling in general. But I thought that it might be worth actually just, yeah, getting these thoughts down. Donald Trump is who he is today because of copious amounts of skin in the game, for better or for worse. And it was interesting to hear Sam Harris come to the same conclusion. And it would actually be fascinating if Sam Harris could just have Taleb on the podcast and they could just go at it. Because Sam's a formidable guy, and fucking Taleb's a formidable guy as well. Nassim, take a risk. Let me read Anti-Fragile. Let me read Anti-Fragile. Get it up on Audible. Take a risk and get an Australian accent in there, an Australian voice. All right. Cheers, guys. Cheers so much for listening. I put the five... So this is the newest episode. I put the five episodes last week up, and we have 300 downloads, which surprised the hell out of me because I didn't expect it to get much. But yeah, I really appreciate you listening. And if you are perhaps interested, look in the show notes for the other stuff that I've done. Rightio, ciao.